If you'd like to make your NFL games a little more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Russ Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. It is the Even Money Podcast presented by DraftKings, America's number one rated sportsbook app. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years, now 5 podcasts in 7 days of the week. Pretty interesting how that works out. Actually, it's more than that. Just 5 different podcasts. Yesterday, I had the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Fun conversation with Jeff Schwartz. Tomorrow, I'll be talking with Andrew Brandt about his Sports Business Hall of Famers and the NFL franchise tag deadline. We also yesterday did the college draft first conference top 10 prospect preview. So check out Emory Hunt talking about what he believes one of the top 6 conferences in America, the American Conference, breaking down the top 10 players in that conference on yesterday's college draft podcast. Tomorrow on the Fantasy Feast podcast, we've got an awesome guest, and we're giving away 3 more spots to the vaunted DraftKings best ball tournament, where you can go toe-to-toe with me and Joe. That rhymes. I just realized that. Hit me up on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. We are always available at Ross Tucker Pod. That's the show's handle. And then, of course, YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL. If you'd like to watch us and get a chance to see what Steve Fezzik actually looks like. Steve Fezzik, of course, the only 2-time winner of the Super Bowl of professional football gambling. You check him out on social media at Fezzik Sports. And we are joined today by a buddy of mine. I don't think I had him on this show before, but I've talked to him on other shows a lot. He is a stud when it comes to both betting and fantasy. Dan Bach, the Roto Grinders Director of Media. Check him out on social at Dan_Bach. He's got Get a Grip. You can go to scoresandodds.com, rotogrinders.com, sportshandle.com. Dan, that's a lot of websites. What are all these websites?
Yeah, we got our hands full in our better collective world with all these different properties. But it's fun, you know, the sports betting, just the expansion. We still got fantasy. And it's great to be back with you, Ross, and great to finally talk to the legend, Fezzik. I've only obviously known of you for a while, but first time we've ever crossed paths here, and it's a pleasure to meet you, man.
Oh, my pleasure is all mine, and Dan, you're uniquely qualified to make money, in my opinion, because the softest betting markets, in my opinion, are the player props, and they're becoming much larger with so many more states legalized and so many more books dealing lines on all the players.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, the tricky part is, and you know it probably as well as many, is that the limits sometimes on the props are not great. But if you're in one of these states where you've got a ton of different sports books, it's not impossible to get a decent amount of action down on these player props. And you're right, playing fantasy has made like betting those markets that much easier. So, yeah. It's been fun.
Why, Steve, do you believe prop bets to be the softest market?
It's much more difficult to set an accurate number on how many yards a quarterback's going to throw for. Ezekiel Elliott, just to throw one guy out there, is he going to split time with Pollard this year? What's his usage going to be? If you have information like that, I don't want to give away the store. But like one of the things that really is profitable is you have a situation where you're supposed to have a lead back and he's going to split carries 1 week with the secondary back. Think how good that is to play the lead back under 90 rush yards. That's probably a 70% bet. You're never going to find a 70% bet in the NBA or the NFL betting a side or a total.
That's interesting. And Dan, you are sort of uniquely qualified because you do both the fantasy stuff and the betting stuff. Do you find most of your action ends up being as a result on the props?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, if you look at profitability, if you look at the numbers over the course of the year, it's pretty clear like that's where my bread is buttered. And I think it's a lot of the people who've transitioned from fantasy to betting. That's where they're making a lot of their money. But I mentioned before, there are some challenges with that too, in terms of both getting limited by the books in a lot of places, in terms of, and then also the amounts that you can actually lay. But I completely agree though, because the thing to remember too is information, especially when it comes down to player props, is everything. And you kind of, same thing kind of applies with betting the NFL draft. Like, they're setting lines that they really don't even know. And it's the same kind of goes with props in regards to one piece of news in the NBA can absolutely swing everything. And these books, obviously, they're trying to be proactive and make those changes quickly, but you can get inaccurate lines, and you can sometimes even find spots where you can middle some of these solid prop numbers between books, because there is a lot of differentiation sometimes between the numbers you can find around. So it's definitely a very different than just betting the totals and the spreads week to week on games.
Very interesting, man. So they limit how much you can put down, and then if you're good at it, they limit you even more. That's the part that, Steve, that I think is, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like that should be legal, that they can limit you. I know you have issues about that, but it's like you're good at something, so they don't let you do it.
You know, there's a book by Ian Anderson called Burning the Tables in Las Vegas. And it talks about, you know, they've been doing this to blackjack players since Thorpe came out with Beat the Dealer, backing them off, telling them they can't play. And so what Ian Anderson talks about is, well, you need camouflage. You can't just be Joe card counter and play completely to maximize your edge. You need to do things like always take insurance, always stand on 16 versus a 10, always double 9 versus a 2, even when the count tells you not to, on your smaller bets, because it makes you look like you're more a recreational player. And that's what professional handicappers that are betting these fantasy stuff do. It's not unusual. I might go into a book I'm crushing, and I might bet every game on the NFL board. I'm not planning on winning betting every game on the board, but my disadvantage playing that is minimal compared to my advantage being able to and being allowed to play the maximum nickel bets across the board on player props.
Wow. It's a complicated web that we've woven here. Half the people listening right now are like, can you just give me something I can put some money on?
We'll get to it.
Right. All right. So let's do it. Let's start with you, Dan. Man, I feel like this has been happening to me a lot, whether it's the fantasy show or here on Even Money. The first bet you want to discuss, Dan, is the Eagles to have the worst record. Now, I am the official preseason television analyst for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I feel like the last few episodes of Fantasy Feast Even Money, people are telling me taking the Eagles under. People are saying that they don't like any of the Eagles fantasy guys. So what are the odds right now for the Eagles to have the worst record? I mean, the worst record, Dan, in the whole NFL?
Well, I'm seeing 16-1, and I really like that number here, Ross. You know, there you got some dog teams. We know Houston is – it pretty much looks like Watson. There's a really good chance he's not going to be with them this year. And Detroit, the other team that looks like complete trash out there. But I'm looking at Philadelphia, and there's major red flags. And for me, it starts with the coaching staff. You know, it's one thing to have a new head coach – in Nick Sirianni like they have, but they also have a first time ever defensive coordinator here in Jonathan Gannon. So you're talking about two team leaders here in the coaching ranks with zero experience, a quarterback with very little experience, a defense whose top pass rushers are 32 and 33 years old. They're playing in a division where you've got, arguably the best defense there in Washington, arguably the best offense there in Dallas, and I think a team that actually went out and made some really good moves this offseason in New York, also getting Saquon Barkley back. So I just feel like everything is really against them here in this situation. We've seen a lot of these rookie head coaches, Freddie Kitchens, for example, come in and just be completely overwhelmed and over their head. And I'm just not into Philadelphia at all. And if I can get 16-1 and sweat this year for them to lose every single week, I'm into that. So that's one of my favorite like season long props that that we can put out there.
So, Steve, that's similar. That was basically similar to Eric Eager's argument last week, too, right? Like the amount of change. I guess he was talking more about sort of the brain drain, you know, losing Joe Douglas, losing Andrew Berry, losing Doug Peterson, some of the people they've lost. But Eric came on here last week and talked about how he loved the Eagles under, right?
Yes, and the Eagles under is catching money. There were some sevens out there. It's down to 6.5 for their season win number. I agree with everything Dan said directionally. I endorse that 16-1 bet because look at the Eagles' schedule. All of their winnable games are like week 14 on, except for I think they have one game against Detroit where they're a one-point favorite. They're dogs in every game until December other than that game. So they could well be in full rebuild by December. The problem I have, or the not problem, but concern is, I don't know if Houston's going to win three games this year. So they've got some stiff competition, and Detroit could be god-awful also. So I think you need to build a portfolio fading the Eagles. So play some under 7 for season wins. Play some under 6.5, and you can make the 16-1 bet. To use an analogy, let's talk about Charles Barkley. He was a greatly improved golfer, but he bet that he would finish in the top 70 in the American Century golf tournament in Tahoe. He finished 77th. Think about this. Barkley had inside information that his golf game was much better. He still lost. Why? Because he made one bet, a long shot bet on him at 5-1 to finish top 70. He should have also bet, hey, Barkley to finish in the top 80 or something to diversify his portfolio. And at the very least, if his handicap's right, he would have made money.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. So the problem is when you just make one bet and you go all in on that, as opposed to having a little more diversification around the same, around the similar concept, but not something that you can lose by one spot or half a game or whatever the case might be, and then lose all of it.
Exactly right. And the like I said, it's not a problem, but my only issue with Dan's bet is I love the fact that the Eagles are going to struggle this year, but there are other teams like Detroit and Houston that I think are going to struggle every bit as much, if not more.
And you could probably, I haven't dug in yet, and I'm sure that some places offer them. You could probably find some alternate win totals as well, where you could get plus odds on them, you know, under 5, for example, or under 6. And, you know, that's a way to kind of hedge against that situation. Cause I mean, Steve's right. I mean, those teams are trash. There's no question about it. I mean, I'm in Jacksonville. I'm a Jags fan. I'm hoping that that team is improved, but you know, maybe you've got Houston who could sneak a couple of wins or at least a win there and somewhere along the way. But you know, 16-1 is a big number. I mean, that's a number I'm comfortable laying and feeling like, you know, if you simmed it out enough times, I think I would be profitable on this bet that it would, that they would have the worst record.
Interesting. It's certainly possible, but I personally feel like their offensive line and defensive line are too good for that to happen if they stay healthy. If they stay healthy. And, you know, Carson Wentz was by far the worst quarterback in the NFL last year. He led the NFL in sacks and interceptions and didn't play the last four games. I mean, Steve, do the math on that one for me. You lead the NFL in sacks and picks. You don't play 25% of the season? I mean, what are we even talking about? So if Hurts comes in and he's just not the worst quarterback, if he's just the 28th quarterback in the NFL, I feel like they win 6-7 games. So
the problem is that I do have Hurts tied with Wilson as my worst starting quarterback in the NFL going into 2021. Now, I get it. Wentz was worse last year, But I would, any reasonable projection based upon body of work that Wentz has done would put him as a much superior quarterback going forward this year than just for 1 year than Hurts.
Man, you are really down on Russell Wilson, Steve. I'm surprised to hear that. It, Zach Wilson, I know. I'm teasing. you said I got Hurts. You got Hurts and Wilson tied for the worst quarterback. And when I first heard it, I was like, wait, what?
It hit my brain for about 2 seconds. So, and then it quickly realized we got a new Wilson for us to talk about.
Yes, we've got. And I was like, oh, Zach Wilson. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. All right, Dan. What about? I mean, Dan, these are not good. You got the Bucs under 11.5 wins. Yeah. The Tampa Bay Bucs, Dan?
Yeah. I mean, obviously they won the Super Bowl. Fine and dandy. They bring everybody back. Fine and dandy. And they're the complete opposite of Philadelphia in that regards, where, you know, they've got everything returning. Coaching staff, players. Maybe it's just my grudge towards old guys, but I am just not buying another year of Tom Brady being able to pull this off. And if you look at last season, they had a few injuries at the wide receiver position. OJ Howard got a little bit banged up, but defensively they remained pretty healthy throughout the year. And the schedule this year, it's not impossible. It's not easy by any stretch, but even looking back to last season, I know that when we do these season-long totals, we're supposed to, you know, be forward-looking, not backward-looking. But I still can't get over that they only beat one playoff team all season long last year. I think they had so many things break their way last year that I think 12 wins is too much to predict for them, even with the extra game this season. I think this is a big fallback year for him. I would take under on season-long props on him all over the place. And I just think that, you know, all the breaks that they caught last year, it's hard to have that happen 2 years in a row. And that's why, you know, I'm under on the Bucks this year to get over that win total.
Hey, so Dan.
Yeah.
From where I sit, we're kind of up on a hill, so I can see for like miles in each direction.
Yeah.
Okay. There are hundreds of thousands of guys that have been wrong by saying, I think Brady's too old. I think it's over for him. I mean, I guess, Steve, if you say that enough years, it'll eventually be right. But it hasn't happened yet, Steve.
Yeah, but to quote my cousin Vinny, remember when he's in the courtroom and he talks about these magic grits that cook themselves in 5 minutes instead of 15 minutes? I guess maybe Tom Brady has the magic, a fountain of youth that he's never going to regress and suddenly fall off the cliff. Never mind that Kenny Stabler was terrible when he hit 40. All right, lifestyle issue perhaps. But look at Brett Favre, MVP at 40, completely washed up at 42. At some point, it has to happen. It's already happened. Last 2 years, I think if you look at QBR, Brady was average in New England, like 17th. And with Tampa Bay last year, just barely cracked the top 10 in QBR as a quarterback, even with all those weapons. I get it. Now I hear all the continuity. Hey, he's had another year. But, you know, heading towards 45, I like the Tampa Bay under. Remember, Tampa Bay, though, the narrative is the running it back. They got everybody coming back, all those starters, and that 11.5 is disappearing. It's popping up to 12. I think you'll get an under 12 plus 105 if you shop around in September. So wait on that one. Play it right before the season starts. And bottom line is there's a bias in the season win market. People like to bet overs. If you just shopped every single team and bet under on every single team at the right time, you're going to make money betting unders in the NFL on season wins. And I would certainly endorse a Tampa Bay under in September once that number inflates even further.
The one thing I would say is I was all in on the Chiefs not winning it last year and not going back-to-back. Because back-to-back, you look at how rarely it's done. I don't know if they have any bets out there for the Bucs to not win the Super Bowl, but I don't think that's going to happen. That would surprise me. What about, Dan, another 16-1, just like the Eagles, but instead of them to be the worst team, you like Cleveland, 16-1 to win the Super Bowl.
I do. You look at their schedule, Warren Sharp, you know, he analyzes the schedule. I think he's got them as the second easiest schedule on the year. And the thing I liked about them last season was that they were able to improve, do well, make the playoffs, and they did it with kind of key injuries. And you look at this team, they've added some really big pieces. Like a guy like Jadeveon Clowney was not great last year in Tennessee, but I think this is a situation where you don't want him to be your number one. And you've got Myles Garrett, who I think another season-long prop you could play is defensive player of the year. I think he is primed for a monster season this year. And then safety Johnny Johnson was a really good pickup that not a lot of people talk about. And with Odell Beckham coming back, I know that there might be some questions whether or not that's a huge upgrade, whether it's a distraction. Dude's an all-pro talent, or at least was at one point in time. I don't think it's a downgrade having him back. And the schedule just sets really well for them. I mean, they're going to be favored. And I think I have them for like 12 games so far this season in my early projections. And I just like what I see running it, you know, with the coaching staff. Didn't look overwhelmed last season. I think there's a lot to like about Cleveland. And Baker Mayfield, like, this is his opportunity to earn that monster paycheck. And I think he's going to do it. I think the Browns are, you know, done being the Browns that we're used to. And I think this is a legit team, well-rounded team. And that's what I'm looking for in Super Bowl contenders. Kind of like the Bucs last year where, yeah, they had a big name offensive player there in Tom Brady, but it was their defense is the reason why they won. And I think the same could apply with the Browns this year.
Steve?
Lots of market support for the Browns. You look at their season win number all the way up to 10.5. So opened, I believe, 10. All that talent. This is an example, though. I got to say, with this, the sum of the pieces does not equal what it should be for a Cleveland Browns team. Just roster-wise, this team's absolutely loaded. And Baker Mayfield, I have as being a top 12 quarterback. That means you should be able to go to the Super Bowl. I just can't. I can't do it. I can't do it with the Browns, a team that the Sharps have been back in the last 5 years, seemingly every week, and collectively have lost. Now, a lot of that was terrible coaching, etc. My one concern about the Browns, yes, they won 11 games last year. We've spoken about the Pythagorean idea of wins and losses. How many games should you have won? Cleveland got outscored last year. They scored fewer points than their opponents. If they had had a normal amount of luck along the way, they go 8-8. And now all of a sudden we're getting 30-1 on the Browns instead of half that amount. So that's my only concern.
Fair.
Let's get to another thing. It's funny, Dan. Tomorrow we're going to name three more contestants for the DraftKings best ball against me and Joe Dolan, which I love. I love going against my listeners in any type of competition. I like talking trash. I love best ball format. I love everything about it. I mean, it's awesome. And by the way, people, all you have to do is sign up for any of our sponsors or become a patron. Just do the Warby Parker home try-on thing using the code Ross, and you get a great chance to be named tomorrow. And send me an email, ross@rosstucker.com. But I know best ball is something you're into as well, Dan.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. You know, season-long fantasy, I think most of us kind of got our chops in that. And then especially in the daily fantasy world, you kind of transition and you lose interest in the season long because it's just too much work. Where best ball is perfect. It's the best part of a season long draft, which is the draft. And you don't have to maintain anything all year long. It basically builds your roster based on the best performers each week. So I absolutely love doing these. They're I call them like the great time waster. Or if you're sitting on a treadmill and nobody likes to be on a treadmill, well, why not draft on a treadmill? Then you'll keep yourself interested. They take about 45 minutes. So I absolutely love these things. But the thing about it is there's a lot of strategy involved in it. And it depends on the league that you're playing. If you're just playing against you, Ross, and eight of your buddies, you're going to draft things a little bit differently than, say, the big $3.5 million tournament they have on DraftKings where there's a million in first place. So I love playing the big bucks. And I think the important thing to remember in that is that you really need to build correlation within your teams. If we're doing a standard season long league, we're not drafting quarterbacks and wide receivers from the same team. It's not optimal when you're playing head to head each week. But in this format, you want to have those spike weeks. You want to have that correlation. So I highly, highly urge people to, when you draft a quarterback or you draft a wide receiver high, try to pair them up. So therefore, when you have these playoff weeks, you have what we call these spike weeks, where you might have two touchdowns, which your receiver is going to have. Obviously, your quarterback's going to have it as well. You want that correlated. So it's really deep thinking from a strategic side of things, which I think is a huge advantage for those who put in the work rather than just drafting these mindlessly. But it's great fun, and it's a great follow. We talk about bang for your buck. I love betting some futures from an entertainment side of things because you make your one bet, you follow it all year long. The same thing happens with these best balls. You draft your team now and you sit back and you can follow along and see how you do throughout the year. But best advice I can give you, correlate your teams, get your wide receivers, tight ends with those quarterbacks. So in those big money weeks when they matter late in the season, you're primed to have the biggest score out of the 15 or 20 people you're competing against that week.
Check out this man on social media at Dan_Bach from Roto Grinders. As you can tell, he's a stud. Terrific work, Dan, as always. Even if I didn't agree with some of it, you backed it up phenomenally. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys. Hope we can do it again.
Thank you, Dan.
Also, check out my boy at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. Next week, we've got a whale of a guest. Hint, hint. Make sure you're ready for that one. Other than that, good luck, everybody. Hope you guys win some money.
Thanks for listening to the Even Money Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, The Fantasy Feast, Business of Sports, and The College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.
A lot of times on the show, I mention DraftKings. Here's what you need to know. You got to be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. By the way, if what I was talking about included a deposit bonus, doesn't always, sometimes it does. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough, and deposit bonuses are paid out in site credit.